going down. I'm yelling timber, you better move.
Hello, everyone. This is Buck with the RubberChickensBlog.com, and welcome to the Buckshots Gamecock Flashback. In these special audio casts, we have reviewed every Gamecock football season since 1987, and in this episode, we're going to talk about the 2014 season, so let's get right to it. The 2013 season ended with a third consecutive 11-2 record and a number 4 national ranking, which was the best finish in school history. But heading into 2014, the Gamecocks would be without Connor Shaw leading the offense, and Jadeveon Clowney, Chaz Sutton, Jimmy Legree, and Victor Hampton, among others, on the defensive side of the ball. However, even with these losses, there was a lot of optimism heading into the season, and South Carolina was projected by many to win the East, and most projections had us winning double-digit games again. One of those projections was by yours truly. On offense, Dylan Thompson was definitely a different type of quarterback than Shaw, but had a lot of experience, including stepping in for an injured Shaw at Clemson in 2012 and leading us to victory. The offensive line was a veteran group and expected to be a strength, and the running backs and wide receivers seemed to be in good shape with Mike Davis, Brandon Wilds, Shaq Rowland, and Pharaoh Cooper. On defense, well, you noticed earlier that I mentioned a lot of personnel losses and that four of those five guys I named were defenders. But Steve Spurrier was very confident in that group heading into the season, saying we might not have a lot of superstars, but we have a lot of good players and depth, so we should be fine. Also, to add to all the hype, in August of 2014, the SEC Network launched. And the Thursday night South Carolina-Texas A&M game would be the first live game ever televised on the network, as well as the first game of the college football season, so there was a ton of hype. And the Gamecocks had a brand new Steve Spurrier poster hung up on the side of the stadium, which was drawing a lot of attention. And when I say poster, I'm not sure a 60-foot high image qualifies as a poster, but let's just say it was a tad obnoxious. On the day of the game, it was a beautiful day, but unfortunately the Gamecocks D did not come out and play as well as we all had hoped and expected, as the Aggies took the opening kickoff and proceeded to drive 67 yards in 9 plays for a quick 7-0 lead, and they made it look easy. But I do remember not being particularly worried because I'd seen teams have success on their first drive against us only to have us shut them down for the rest of the game. And this being the first game, I just personally chalked it up to that plus some first game jitters. The Gamecocks' first series stalled, and the Aggies once again moved easily on offense, but they bogged down and wound up kicking a field goal for a 10-0 lead. I was feeling a little less comfortable about our defense at this point, but the South Carolina offense would strike on their next drive.
Davis alone back in the backfield to the left side. Thompson sees something he likes. Shotgun snap. Looking left side, now down the middle, now lost one. Nicky Jones there, in his hands, going for 25. Jones trying to run away, he does so. 5, touchdown Carolina. Touchdown Nicky Jones, 69 yards. What a throw from Thompson.
The Aggies would score another touchdown to go back up by 10, but Thompson hit Demir Bird for a touchdown, and this game looked like it would be a shootout.
9:55 to go in the second quarter. 10-point lead for the Aggies. Wilds in the backfield. He'll slip out. Thompson going down deep. Got a man wide open. Bird caught at the 10. Strolls in at the 5. Touchdown, Carolina. Touchdown, Demir Bird. 46 yards.
That, unfortunately, would be the closest the Gamecocks would get the rest of the way. Texas A&M took a 31-14 lead into the half, and what a depressing halftime that was. And would hold off the Gamecocks in the second half and cruise to a 52-24 win. When the smoke cleared, Texas A&M had 680 yards of total offense, including 511 yards passing by Johnny Manziel's replacement Kenny Hill, a.k.a. Kenny Trill, who would unbelievably lose the Aggie quarterback job later in the season and transfer. For the Gamecocks, Dylan Thompson had 366 yards passing and 4 touchdowns on the night. Nicky Jones had over 100 yards receiving, and Brandon Wilds had 45 yards on the ground to lead the rushing attack. Mike Davis played very little due to some bruised ribs that he suffered early in the game. Next up was East Carolina, and despite some very uncomfortable moments, particularly early in the game, South Carolina would walk out with a hard-fought 33-23 win over what turned out to be a pretty good Pirate team. Thompson threw for 266 yards. Mike Davis went for 101 on the ground, and despite giving up 453 yards, the defense was considerably better. But, of course, there was nowhere to go but up after the Texas A&M game. The following week, we welcomed Todd Gurley and the sixth-ranked Georgia Bulldogs into Williams-Brice and tried to gain a little respect back after the thrashing that we took on opening night. This game was the first CBS-SEC game of the season, and kickoff was delayed for about an hour and a half due to a thunderstorm that rolled through Columbia. The Gamecock offense moved the ball pretty well in the first half, and the defense made a few stops for a 24-13 halftime lead. We also got the benefit of a slightly questionable holding call on a Todd Gurley touchdown run where it looked like he was playing against air, but hey, we'll take it, right? Second half was pretty wild as teams exchanged touchdowns on four straight possessions, ending with this run by Brandon Wilds, which gave the Gamecocks a 10-point lead.
Two wide receivers right side, and Wilds with his hands on his knees. They'll hand to Wilds inside the 20, stiff arm to 15, 10, 5, touchdown. Touchdown Carolina. Touchdown Brandon Wilds from 24 yards out.
Georgia answered back, and then on the Gamecocks' next possession, Dylan Thompson threw a terrible interception, one of a few terrible ones he would throw during the course of the season, and seemed to seal our fate as the Bulldogs had a first and goal with a chance to take the lead, but inexplicably, instead of handing the ball to Todd Gurley three times, Georgia threw the ball on first down, and thanks to nice pressure by one of the Gerald Dixons, picked up a grounding penalty. The defense held the rest of the way, and the Bulldogs still had a chance to tie it with a chip shot field goal. Enter Georgia's kicker Marshall Morgan, who earlier in the game had hit his 19th consecutive field goal, which was an SEC record. He then made another to make it 20 in a row before missing a 44-yarder in the second quarter to end the streak. The kick to tie the game was only from 28 yards, and he pushed it right, unbelievably, and the Gamecocks maintained their 3-point lead. From there, we were able to run out the clock, but not without a ton of drama. We ran the ball well behind a veteran offensive line, but had trouble picking up that final inch we needed to close the game out. There were timeouts, then a quarterback sneak by Dylan Thompson, then a challenge by Georgia, and then finally this.
All the players crowded around that we can't see and the officials can't see.
It's that close.
First down, Carolina! By the lace of the football.
After review, the ruling on the field stands.
And 85,000 confirm it. My goodness, what a series. What a ball game. 38-35, 1:22 to go.
That last minute and a half felt like the longest minute and a half in history. But we were able to move to 2-1 on the season and 1-1 in the SEC, and the memory of the Texas A&M game was starting to fade. And anytime you beat Georgia, it's a great, great day. I think the wishful thinkers in all of us believe maybe the first game of the season was an anomaly for what was ultimately going to be a really good team. So the next week against Vandy, we got a win, but honestly, the deficiencies on this team were really starting to stand out, especially the defense not being able to consistently stop a weak Vanderbilt offense and a kickoff team that allowed not one but two kickoff returns for touchdown. Steve Spurrier ripped the team in the postgame, calling it one of the worst wins of his career and saying, "We've all seen good football teams, and we ain't one." Regardless, the Gamecocks were 3-1 and returned home to face a Missouri team that had been beaten at home by a really not good Indiana team the previous week. So we felt good heading into this game, but it was an absolute slog from beginning to end, and we seemingly took control with 8 minutes left on this touchdown pass from Dylan Thompson to Faro Cooper.
And doing that job. Dylan Thompson wants to throw it, fakes it. Inside, a leaping Faro Cooper at the goal line. Are you kidding me? Cooper comes down in a cloud after a huge hit, 23 yards.
That touchdown made the score 20-7 with only 7.5 minutes to go in the game, and you would have thought we could breathe easy. But Missouri hit two big pass plays on their next possession and scored a touchdown in all of 36 seconds to cut the lead to 20-14. And then we showed a complete inability to get a critical first down, and the Tigers scored the go-ahead touchdown with a minute 36 left in the game. Still, we only needed a field goal to win, but Dylan Thompson threw four straight incompletions on our last possession, and Missouri had a stunning come-from-behind victory to drop the Gamecocks to 3-2 overall and 2-2 in the SEC and put a huge damper on our SEC East title hopes. The defense overall really played pretty well as we held Missouri to less than 300 yards for the game, but we just could not get a stop at the end of that game when we needed it. So that kind of loss only comes along once every few seasons, right? Oh no, we were in for more than our share of these heartbreaks, and the next one came the following week at Kentucky. Once again, the Gamecocks had a 2-touchdown lead in the fourth quarter, and once again, we blew it. The Wildcats sealed the win with a batted pass and interception return for a touchdown with 2.5 minutes left. Dylan Thompson threw one final interception with about a minute left for a little icing on the cake. Kentucky was led by JoJo Kemp, who had 131 yards on 3 touchdowns, running mostly out of the Wildcat formation, which we knew was coming on practically every play, and we couldn't stop it. I think all of his yardage may have come out of the Wildcat. For a little perspective on Kemp, he had a grand total of 323 yards and 4 touchdowns for the entire season. So 40% of his rushing yards and 75% of his touchdowns came against South Carolina. So now we're 3-3 and really trying to figure out what the hell is going on, particularly with the defense. After a bye week and a 41-10 win over Furman, we traveled to the Plains to face 5th-ranked Auburn. I think most people thought the offense for Auburn might score 70 points on us, but honestly, the team played inspired football on this night, staying in the game all the way to the end before falling 42-35. We actually had a Hail Mary at the end of the game that was intercepted. Still had a chance all the way to the final bell. But we just couldn't get a stop when we really needed it. Again, sounds familiar. And despite 402 yards and 5 Dylan Thompson touchdown passes and 5 straight fourth down conversions at one point, we fell to 500 for the season. The good news, if there was good news out of that game, was Steve Spurrier called a fantastic game on the offensive side of the ball. He seemed to call the perfect play every time we needed a big first down. But in addition to his 5 touchdown passes, Dylan Thompson threw 3 interceptions, which just killed us. You just can't forfeit possessions when you're playing an offense like Auburn's. So we return home to face Tennessee the next weekend, and honestly, if you're listening to this podcast, I'm sure you know what happened, so I'm not going to go into a lot of detail. Just like experiencing when it actually happened, I'm getting a little frustrated talking about another blown fourth quarter lead, but I can't ignore what Pharaoh Cooper did in this game. 11 catches, 233 yards, 2 touchdown catches, 1 touchdown rushing, and 1 touchdown passing. And it's just a crying shame the way we lost that game overshadowed one of the great individual performances in Gamecock history.
That same set of 3 wide receivers, right side, Thompson out of the gun. Wilds in a ball game. Thompson throwing down the seam, got Cooper at the 40, 50. Cooper trying to run away at the 30. Cooper at the 20. Pharaoh Cooper, are you kidding me? 85 yards. Give him the key to the city and let him run on Tuesday for governor. He'd win it.
So at this point, the season is really starting to circle the bowl. We're at 4-5 with 3 games left. Need to win 2 of those 3 games against Florida, South Alabama, and Clemson just to be bowl eligible. Unfortunately, a miracle happened in Gainesville, Florida. Down 17-10 late in the game, Florida lined up to kick a field goal and essentially put the game away.
Velez, with the sun shining in his eyes, 32 yards out.
Block,
the game
block.
Blocked it. The ball's trickling around to 37, scrambling back of the Gators. And Carolina blocked the field goal, a 32-yard attempt. Great block by Bryson Williams. And they're loving up on him.
It wasn't even
on the
close.
Gamecock sideline. Wow, what a jump he got.
A jump and also just a fabulous angle that time. It was not even close.
This gave us life, but we didn't capitalize right away, turning the ball over on downs with only a couple of minutes left. The defense was able to hold, however, and the Gators lined up to punt it away with only 46 seconds left.
Christie right on his own 25-yard line. Here comes Carolina. They do come. Christie gets it blocked. The Gamecocks have got it, and they'll have it inside the Florida 35-yard line.
It was actually Carlton Hurd who got it, and the Gamecocks capitalized quickly with a beautiful pass from Dylan Thompson to Mike Davis to get it inside the five, and then they tied it up with this play.
Buster Anderson steps over to the right side, puts his hand down. Three wide receivers right side. Option play left side. Pitch to Mike Davis into the end zone. Touchdown, Carolina. Touchdown, Mike Davis. Dylan Thompson ran speed option and pitched it away. And Thompson looked shook up. Mike Davis caught it, dropped it into the end zone, dove on it. Touchdown, Carolina. Either the extra point could tie it. And here comes Elliott Fry, or they go for two.
That play was almost a disaster as Davis fumbled the pitch into the end zone but fell on it before any Gators could get to it. And we were going to overtime for the second week in a row. Florida took the ball first in overtime, and we held them to a field goal. On their possession, the Gamecocks used a power running game to get the ball inside the five, and then came another brilliant call by Steve Spurrier to get the win.
David Williams in the game at tailback. Two wide receivers right side, Cooper in the slot. The two tight ends flip over to the left side. Thompson out of the gun. He's going all the way at quarterback here in the overtime. Shotgun snap. Fake by Thompson.
Touchdown.
Touchdown, Dylan Thompson. And the Gamecocks have won in overtime in the swamp. And they swarm all over Dylan Thompson.
That was a pretty bad Florida team, but it was a really fun win after all the heartache we'd been through to that point. And I read an interesting article recently about how Carlton Hurd's blocked punt somewhat changed the course of college football, speculating that if he doesn't get that block and Florida wins, then Will Muschamp probably doesn't get fired. South Carolina doesn't go to a bowl game, and the chances that Steve Spurrier retires goes way up. Maybe Jim McElwain winds up the coach at South Carolina instead of Florida. Who knows who Auburn's defensive coordinator is, and so on and so forth. It could have set into motion all kinds of coaching moves and non-moves. But fortunately, we did win, and we beat South Alabama the following week to become bowl eligible. The regular season ended with a loss to Clemson that was honestly much better than us, a Clemson team that was much better than us. They had a suffocating defense, and on offense made us look like we had never seen a jet sweep. Really a nightmare play after play. Artavis Scott and the jet sweep. And our five-game rivalry win streak was finally over. Shortly after that, we accepted a bid to the Independence Bowl to play Miami. December wasn't without its drama, though, as former South Carolina Mr. Football Shaq Rowland left the team, which was just a shame because he had showed so much promise at times, but was so inconsistent and sometimes just seemed like he had no interest in playing college football, which is terrible because he certainly has NFL talent. The Gamecocks beat Miami in the bowl game 24-21, and there at the end, it felt like we might blow another fourth quarter lead, but fortunately we were able to hold on. Dylan Thompson gave a great performance in his final game with 294 yards passing, and Pharaoh Cooper had 9 catches and 170 yards, including this one that gave the Gamecocks their first lead.
Allen Knott stands over it. Thompson out of the gun. Davis to his left. He wants to throw it again. Shotgun snap. Throwing. Got a man. Farrell. Cooper caught at the 45. Farrell in open space and a move at the 40. Farrell going to cut back and a block from K.J. Brown. Farrell at the 15. Are you kidding me? Touchdown, Carolina. Touchdown, Farrell Cooper. 78 yards. The extra point. Carolina will go up just like that in the Independence Bowl over Miami.
Cooper was named the game's MVP and capped off what was just a spectacular season for him. 69 catches, 1,136 yards, 9 TDs receiving, 2 rushing, and 1 passing. And despite a lot of criticism over the course of the season, Dylan Thompson had one of the greatest seasons passing in South Carolina history. with the most yardage in one single season at 3,564 yards. He had 26 touchdowns, finished his career as the eighth leading passer in Gamecock history, despite only being a starter full-time his senior year. So a lot of people had a lot of criticism for Dylan Thompson, but he will definitely be missed. After the season, it was obvious something needed to be done with the coaching staff on the defensive side of the ball, and there were some serious flirtations with the recently fired Will Muschamp, but he wound up at Auburn. After signing day, Steve Spurrier announced his old friend John Hoak from his Florida days would be brought in as defensive coordinator, came in from the Chicago Bears, and the much maligned Lorenzo Ward was moved to a different role with the defense. All in all, the 2014 season was a pretty big disappointment, especially when you consider the preseason expectations. It's easy to look at those three fourth quarter blown leads and think about what could have been, maybe even another double-digit win season. But it's also easy to see us losing to Georgia and Florida in addition to the games we lost. So sure, things could have been better, but they also could have been much, much worse. That's it for the 2014 Gamecock Flashback. I'm Buck for the RubberChickensBlog.com, and thanks for listening. Go Cocks. The bigger they are, the harder they fall. This bigger than boys, a diggity dog. I have them like Miley Cyrus, clothes off, twerking in their bras and thongs. Timber, face down, booty up. Timber.